This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, it's time to check the chip and how a little dog changed a big man's life. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that? It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We're here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, with our pet tip of the week. And Monica, we have a very important day coming up. It is Check the Chip Day. Can you tell us a little about that and how important it is?
Absolutely. So Check the Chip Day is actually a national day that's celebrated twice a year because it's so important that it should be done twice a year. So the 15th is the next Check the Chip Day, and it's really a day just to remind all of the pet owners about checking your microchip information, making sure that the microchip that you do have for your pet is up-to-date address, phone number, up-to-date emergency contacts, because sometimes people forget that you know, if they move, then maybe they'll remember to update their information, but they don't always remember, oh wow, you know, my emergency contact moved, or just to make sure everything is completely up-to-date. And then also make sure that not just the microchip itself, but your collar, your tag, just making sure that all your pet's identification items are totally up-to-date. Like, I usually, even though this day is mainly about microchips, I just use it as, like, my personal reminder to update all my information. So, like, I kind of do it as a household thing. So, I will, each pet, I'll update, like, pictures of them. I will make sure they all have correct their rabies tags and the address and our phone numbers haven't changed on their collars. Really just use it to make sure that everything is up to date and good. That way it's kind of a nice reminder. It kind of slips my mind from time to time. But if I just throw it on the calendar at the beginning of the year, then it reminds me if anything's updated, my emergency contacts, my phone, a backup phone, a house phone, cell phones. Those things can kind of change from time to time if you change your service provider or your friend does, that's your contact. So that way you have everything up to date and your pet can always come back home safe.
So important, Monica. Here we are here in Florida. We're in the midst of hurricane season, but there's all kinds of things going on across the country where you want to make sure that your pet, the contact information is up to date. That's so very important. Use this day to do that. And as you said, update the photos, update everything, because it's very important to have the information not only for your pet, their microchip information, update their ID tags, update their photos, make sure you have all their shot histories. It's like a good day to just remember everything. Get it all updated.
Absolutely. And if you have to make changes to your chip information, always remember that they also list your veterinarian. So, like, if you've moved, you've probably changed veterinarians as well because you want something, you know, closer to home. And that's also an additional backup for, you to get a hold of somebody, because obviously if you, like in our office, if we have a microchip pet come in that we have that we can link back to a certain pet owner, if it's one of our clients and the owner isn't reached, then we'll say, you know, just bring the pet here. We'll board them until you get a hold of the pet owner. So that way it's an additional backup. But, you know, for people who move states or move counties or whatever, if your vet's information changes as well as your home, a lot of people sometimes overlook that and they'll just like, oh yeah, I got to update my address and my phone number. But the veterinarian's information is also on there, and it's also a great backup.
So important, so great to know, and it's a great reminder. So everyone, as you're celebrating Check Your Chip Day, make sure that you do all this because it's very important, and it'll pay off in the long run. So Monica, as always, you brought us a great tip, and you have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Maria Miss Olive here to announce the release of the second book in the Doggy Diva Diaries series, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Friends, a story about Miss Olive's encounters with bullying at a dog park and how she learns a life lesson. Please check out the original award-winning book, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home, which is a story about adoption and rescue. Both books are available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And please visit thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, could an 8-pound dog change your life? Next, someone who had it happen. Stay with us.
For those fortunate to have experienced the deep bond and unconditional love of a companion animal, the death that follows can be one of the most difficult and misunderstood losses to go through. Many times, this devastating loss goes unrecognized and trivialized by family and friends, leaving grieving pet parents struggling to find healthy ways to cope with the loss. In And I Love You Still, a thoughtful guide and remembrance journal for healing the loss of a pet, Dr. Julianne Corbin calls attention to the difficulties unique to the loss of a beloved pet and provides an interactive and compassionate guide to help you process your loss and work towards coming to a place of peace and healing. For those interested in journal therapy and looking for a professionally written and compassionate resource to help understand and reconcile the grief associated with the loss of your pet, this book is for you. And I Love You Still, a thoughtful guide and remembrance journal by Julianne Corbin, is now available for purchase on Amazon and other major book retailers.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Tyson's Gift, How an 8-Pound Canine Became a Man's Greatest Spiritual Guide by author Brandon Wainwright is a memoir of love and a beacon of hope. The heartwarming story of a man's relationship with his best friend is a captivating statement of the power of love and a compelling affirmation of the eternal nature of all creatures, great and small. With us today to tell us about this heartwarming and inspirational story and his amazing pup, Tyson, is Brandon Wainwright. Welcome, Brandon, to the Doggy Diva Show.
Thank you, Susan. It's good to be here. I really appreciate you having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And I have to tell you right off the bat, I absolutely love the book. I completed it in one day. It was so inspiring. I had like little goosebumps reading it. It was very, very good. You did a wonderful job.
Well, thank you. I was excited when you told me that you read it in one day.
I did. I loved it.
Positive affirmation.
It is. It's a positive. I loved it. For the listeners who are out there that don't know about you, could you just share with them a little bit about yourself and also how Tyson came into your life?
Sure. Well, my name is Brandon Wainwright. I'm actually a police officer out in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've always been a dog person and a dog lover, but when Tyson came into my life, it put it at a whole nother level. Tyson is, when he came into my life, it was right around the time my wife and I were getting engaged, and we didn't have a dog. I hadn't had a dog since I was a child. I had had a number of of kind of sad situations with animals as a kid, and I just hadn't gotten to a place in my adult life where I felt like I could put have an animal in it yet. To tell the truth, it wasn't even on my radar. But Tyson was the dog of one of my wife's friends at work, and he came to us. He was about a year old. Lucy was the name of the lady, and she would bring the Tyson in, bring your dog to work days. And my wife just absolutely fell in love with him. He's this cute little chihuahua puppy. And what happened was that Lucy had two dogs, Tyson and another dog, and they ended up moving. And the new place that they went to only allowed, it was a rental, and they were only allowed one dog. So she had to very quickly find a home for Tyson, because Tyson was the newer of the two. And Misha, my wife, was just right away, oh, absolutely, we'll take her. And so the thing is, initially we were kind of just coming through a rough patch and working everything out in our relationship and getting engaged. All that happened very quickly. But initially I was like, oh no, I'm going to have competition here, but as soon as, I fell in love with him very quickly. Although he made me earn it. He was a difficult personality, to say the least, and that's all in the book.
And that makes it more worth it when they are like that. The love you get makes it, it compounds that millions of times. So totally.
Absolutely. I had never had a dog make, dogs have always loved me and I've always loved dogs. And this dog acted like I was a leper for quite a while. Oh, big time, big time. But like you said, he captured my heart, even though he treated me like I was a second class citizen. I was in love with this dog from the start. So,
well, and I have to ask you, and for listeners, when you get the book, you're going to see this cute little dog, and I'm very partial to Chewinis. The look on his face is like my Coco, with a little Superman outfit on. Now, as we said, he had a little bit of a mischievous personality, but his personality was so big and so loving when you all grew into each other. Can you tell us about Tyson himself?
Yeah, well, so Tyson, like I said, he had a huge personality. He was kind of a dichotomy. On the one hand, he was extremely like a tough guy, masculine. He had a real swagger about him. He kind of just puffed out his chest when he walked around. But at the same time, he was a complete love bug. Especially with my wife. I mean, he would just melt into your arms. He was extremely sensitive. If you yelled at him or anything, he would just the worst thing you could do to this dog was to let him know you were disappointed in him or ashamed of him or mad at him. If he was, like you said, he was very mischievous, but he said, Tyson, what are you doing? You get upset. And that didn't upset him. But if he knew you were genuinely mad at him, he could feel it. And he would follow you around like you had killed his puppy. I mean, he was an interesting dichotomy of personalities, quite a contradiction.
He ended up being a big, like, love bug. So, and I think that says a lot for, dogs that, whether they come from rescue or however they come to us, in the beginning, it's almost like they're establishing themselves within your pack, within your family.
I think coming from Lucy's, they were very affectionate with him. And when he came to us, like you said, they adapt themselves into the family. Mm-hmm. With my wife, he was a complete love bug from the start. But for some reason, he had something about men. And I'm 6'1", 230 pounds, and I'm a big guy. So for him, it was definitely an intimidating thing, I think. But he slowly but surely allowed himself to be won over. Like, the trust was built, but that bond was huge. I mean, it was literally spirit transcending, if you will, and it so deep. So and the satisfaction that I got from being his dad and providing that kind of love and safety for him was life altering for me. And I think, like you said, rescues a lot of times have issues, but as they're human, if you're helping them work through those issues, it just makes the experience richer, and they, both human and animal, get more out of it.
You're a big guy. You're a very formidable big guy, and you wrote such an honest, open, and as a pet parent, a very relatable story about your relationship with Tyson and the pain in losing him, and your approach to like a life-changing approach of continuing that relationship. Your journey was very awe-inspiring. And again, as a pet parent, I could totally relate. You could feel your sadness. You could feel your pain when you lost Tyson. And what you did almost to keep that his spirit was with you and you were identifying it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I was not raised in a religious environment, and I did my own spiritual searching. You know, throughout my life, I tried on several different religions, and I was never able to buy in. Not that I have any disrespect for religion. I think religion is wonderful if it brings peace to people, but for me, it never worked. So when Tyson passed away, I had this profound connection with him. And I know any animal, any member of your audience can relate to this. It's like having a child in it. And in this case, it was a child that I had the ultimate connection with. And so when I lost him, it wasn't like losing, I'm in my late 40s now, but I was in my mid 40s. And, you know, so obviously I've lost my fair share of family members and friends and even other animals over the years, but I had always been able to just accept it and move on. In this case, I couldn't do that. It was too much. I had to know that my boy was okay, you know, and that he lived on. And it wasn't enough for me to just have some abstract idea of it. And so I found myself, and this, a lot of this that I'm describing to you happened in a very kind of organic way where I wasn't necessarily conscious of it in the beginning. But as I began to search, I read a book called Animals and the Afterlife, which I'm sure lots of your audience members
have
read it. By Kim Sheridan. And in the book, you know, Kim is a naturopathic doctor, and, you know, she's got credibility in terms of her intelligence, in terms of her sanity, if you will. But she shares all these firsthand experiences of reincarnation with animals and animal communication sessions where she was able to connect with past animals and where there was not just parallels, but exact overlap between one session and another. And it was so compelling to me that it was convincing. So in my mind, it was like, well, either this is phony baloney and she's making it all up, or she's crazy, or it's real. It's one of those, right? So, and I was in such a state of searching and in such a state of wanting to find peace about my dog, my boy Tyson, that I found myself open to the idea of trying this animal communication thing. And honestly, prior to that, I wouldn't have had any disrespect for it or you know, anything like that, but I wouldn't have been probably open to doing it myself. And so, long story short, I myself had a very profound experience with an animal communicator where it was very clear that I was communicating with Tyson, very specific, very accurate, even down to his physical ailments that he had. And then from there, I had more experiences with a medium, another spiritual medium, where I was able to connect with Tyson again. And this one was even more profound, actually. And then a bunch of family members that had passed away long ago. And it was incredible. In fact, the chapter in the book, I call it Coffee with Loved Ones, because it was literally like sitting down for an unexpected chat over coffee with my grandma, my aunt, my uncle, and Tyson.
I found that to be very interesting, by the way. I thought that was great.
That experience was the one that really, you know, because when you go in from a skeptic to being convinced that this is real, it was a process. Even though I was open to it and even wanting to believe it, it was still very much something that I was going to have to be convinced of. And you could have told me till I was blue in the face until I experienced it and you know had that my mind shifted by those experiences. It wasn't going to completely set in. Well, that session really shifted my viewpoint, and it ended up opening me up to a whole new metaphysical world. It's like, well, if this is real, I need to check this out. I need to grow in this. I need to. So I started meditating daily. Pretty soon after that, a former colleague of mine who is also an animal lover, she's more of a cat person, but she turned me on to Reiki. And so I took the first Reiki course, and I had very quickly, I found myself practicing Reiki daily and having these really profound experiences with Reiki. And then I went to the next level. Then I became a Reiki master. And you know, through all of this, I've just been growing. And then also in the midst of this, I had more communications with Tyson, some through a communicator, some through him contacting me directly and me actually being able to perceive it. And I know for some of this might sound out there, but, it's very real. And you know, all those experiences are shared in the book. And actually next month I'm going to be taking an animal Reiki course, level one and two.
I love animal Reiki. I mean, I like Reiki anyway. And as the listeners, there are some that accept this, some that don't accept it. We're very open. But for people who actually go on these life-changing journeys, which your book is all about that, you are so raw, so honest, and you're definitely not a woo-woo person. You started to pursue things, and I believe Tyson took you on this journey to understand more about him and also to keep the connection with him. And I think that was so important to you. That was something that you were looking for, something that you needed, and something that you ultimately found. But it also took you, I believe, to other parts of your life. And now you and your wife and your daughter, you have a new family member who may be a little familiar to you, who's coming to your life. Can you tell us a little bit about Pepper?
Yeah. So Pepper, you know, one of the reasons that I had initially started reaching out to the animal community, you know, I didn't see myself necessarily going on this journey and becoming a metaphysician myself, you know, but I desperately wanted Tyson to reincarnate if that was possible. Right. And that was my big part of my initial motivation to start all that. Well, throughout the process, most of the intuitives that I worked with, they all felt that Tyson was going to come back. His answer when I would ask them is, he's not saying exactly when or if, but I get the distinct impression that he wants to come back and that he will come back. That was kind of the standard answer. And that, you know, that sounds like kind of an ambivalent kind of the safe answer, but it rang true. And so I was just kind of like, well, one of these days, hopefully he comes back and I'll know it when he does. Well, long story short, he came back, and it didn't happen until I had finished the book. It actually was 2 months after I had finished the book. And so I put that in the epilogue. But yeah, Tyson reincarnated in the form of Pepper, who is a brindle chihuahua, and right around the same size as Tyson was, very similar looking, but definitely has her own personality. It's a girl this time. But she also has a swagger about her.
She has that Tyson essence.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. She is you. I knew it. I knew it almost immediately. Well, I mean, within I wasn't necessarily thinking it was going to be him. I was certainly open to it. But I knew within a couple of days of spending time with her. And there was other, I'll just give you a couple quick things that we're telling. For one, I was on the week after we got her, I went to Sedona. I went to Arizona for spring training, baseball spring training. And while we were there, we went up to Sedona and I had a reading done. And the medium told me, was able to describe Pepper to me and confirmed for me that it was in fact Tyson. That was one of the things. But the first night we had her, Tyson used to sleep. He'd fall asleep on my shoulder a lot. With his head on my shoulder. And the first night we had her, I woke up with her asleep on my shoulder in the middle of the night. And so it was like, okay, there's a little, that's a message right
there.
A
little message, a little sign.
Yeah. And the other thing, like when we got her, when she came into the house, she immediately knew where the back door was. She ran straight to the back door. And I don't know, if we have another dog, she could have just been following that dog's lead. It's hard to say, but
it the familiarity like that she knew.
Yeah, she seemed like it was her house from the moment she stepped in. Like she knew it was her house. The other thing, this is another really one of my favorite coincidences, quote unquote coincidences. A couple months after we got her, I don't know why I didn't notice this when we first got her, but we have her vaccination papers on the refrigerator, and I was standing in the kitchen drinking a cup of coffee, and I'm looking down the vaccination papers. I get to the bottom and the name of the doctor's at the bottom. Guess what the name of the doctor is?
Dr. Tyson.
Dr. Catherine Tyson.
Oh, no. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? No. I mean, it's like, come on, you know. Yeah. The other thing, and this is another one that's really kind of floors me, is Tyson had, I didn't even put this in the book because I didn't think it was of enough significance at the time, but Tyson had a single white hair between his shoulder blades, and it was just this one white hair that was amongst the otherwise tan fur, and so it really stood out. He always, throughout his life, he had this hair that was always there, and my wife used to joke around that if there was ever an imposter, we would know it immediately because it probably wouldn't have that hair, you know. So Misha was she also believed that Pepper was Tyson, but she had a hard time accepting that she didn't have the hair in that spot. She just couldn't believe that Pepper wouldn't have the hair if it was him. Well, around the same time I discovered the name of Catherine Tyson as his doctor, I was sitting with Pepper in my lap and petting her. And a little bit further down, not exactly in the same spot, but just a little bit further down, this one single white hair works its way to the surface.
Oh, yeah. It just gave me goosies. Oh, my gosh.
And the thing is, she's brindle, but solid black on her back. So a white hair really stands out. So, and I'm like, no, oh, no way. So, I thought, you know, this hair must have fallen from another part of her body or something. And nope, she's got that single white hair, and it's still there.
Oh, so that's so amazing.
All these different affirmations, you know, that reach out and say, yeah, it's me.
You know, as I said, I love the book. I went through it very, very quickly. It'll appeal to pet parents and non-pet parents because there's like a life journey in there. So where can the listeners go to learn more about you, learn more about your journey, learn more about Tyson?
Well, you go to the website. It's tysonsgift.com. There's a write-up on Tyson and me and the front. There's also a link that it's the Shop Now link where it'll take you to buy the book if you want to. Right now it's only on Amazon, but before long it'll be on a lot of other places too, where you'll be able to get it. But that's the easiest way to get it and to learn about Tyson and me. You can see pictures and stuff too there.
Your website's cute, and he's adorable. So I really loved him. Now, before we go, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just a couple of things. One, you know, the reason I wrote this book is so that other people could be comforted when they lose a loved one, whether it be, I mean, it's primarily for animal lovers because it's so, you know, specific to Tyson, but also to human, you know, loved ones. And I wrote it so people can understand that we live on, that we're humans or animals having an earthly experience. We're spirits. We're either spirits of animals, spirits of humans in human form having this experience. It's not the other way around. And we do live on. And you know, this isn't the end, and you will see and be with your loved ones again. I know that sounds like something you've probably heard a million times, you know, in religious settings and things like that, but my hope is that the book shares, you know, some concrete experiences that are compelling to people. And if you're not convinced, to start on your own journey of discovery, because I will tell you that there's a big difference between reading about it and actually experiencing it. So I really encourage your listeners to, if they do read my book, to to do their own exploration, because it's life changing and it's so beautiful. It brings so much peace. And the other thing is, a portion of the proceeds of the book will be donated to animal shelters. Specifically, at this point, I'm planning on giving to PetSmart Charities, which they distribute around the country, and 90% of the proceeds that they take in go to actually helping animals. So that's another goal that I have with the book. So
that's wonderful. I mean, paying it forward takes, not only are you sharing Tyson's gift with everyone, but Tyson is paying it forward. Even though he's with us spiritually, he's going to save a lot of animals' lives and make a difference in their lives. So he's living on, actually, in what you're doing based on the part of the proceeds of your book. So, Brandon, I just want to thank you so much for being our guest today and sharing the amazing Tyson with us, and also for being so honest and open about that powerful human and animal connection that we all hope to experience and that you definitely experienced. And for those of you looking for a book that would be not only a great book for animal lovers, but also for those looking for a little bit of humor and love and inspiration, why don't you try out Tyson's Gift? I think that you're going to find that it has a lot for everyone, not only an animal lover. It will definitely inspire animal lovers, but I think it's going to inspire people in general just to go on this life-changing journey with Brandon. So again, please go to www.tysons, that's T-Y-S-O-N-S, gift, gift.com. You can learn more about Tyson and learn more about Brandon and learn more about this wonderful, inspiring, life-changing book, Tyson's Gift. So, Brandon, thank you so much for being our guest.
No, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. We'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and The Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.